Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. There was once a man who had a lot of money, and he was kind of miserable. He decided that his money really wasn't worth much of anything if he couldn't use it to make himself happy, so he started to spend it. One of the first things he did was he bought a house. He bought a house that sat up in the mountains, and it was near enough to the sea that if he could look out and he could see the ocean. And he could sit quietly in his house and just enjoy himself. He could watch the sun set over the sea, and he could listen to the birds singing, and he enjoyed living in his nice big house in the mountains, and he was happy for a while, but he soon grew bored with it. So he went out and he bought himself a sailboat, and he decided to sail around the world. He saw all kinds of strange exotic lands that he had never been to before. He'd only read about in books, and he really enjoyed himself while he was on the trip. He was happy most of the time, but eventually his journey ended. He was kind of glad to be home. He realized also that sailing on this boat only allowed him to see so much of the world, that part of the world surrounded by water. So he went out and he spent more of his money, and he bought himself an airplane. And he took his airplane and he flew it around the world and to all kinds of other exotic places that were not so near the sea. But he spent a lot of time flying and traveling, and he enjoyed himself, but he eventually grew bored. It wasn't so exciting anymore. He wasn't happy anymore. So he decided to go out and spend some more of his money, and he bought himself a rocket ship, thinking surely that would make him happy. He flew his rocket ship into space, and he spent some time just looking down at the Earth and feeling kind of small eventually. It was very exciting at first because not a whole lot of people had been into space, and not a whole lot of people could afford to be in space. He was very proud of himself that he could afford this, but eventually he grew bored. He went back home, and he knew a man who was very poor, but he always seemed to be happy. So he went to this man and he said to him, I'm a wealthy man and I've spent all this money trying to find happiness, trying to find ways to bring some kind of joy into my life. You always seem to be happy. What's your secret? The man said, well, I'm not always happy, but I'm always joyful. I find my joy at the foot of the cross. You see, there's a difference between joy and happiness. I forget who it was I heard talking about. It said that happiness is what happens to you. If you want to be happy, you have to have good things happen to you. Joy comes from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to be joyful always. It's kind of difficult to be joyful always, isn't it? If we have trouble being joyful always, I think the big reason for that is we lose track of the fact that there's a difference between joy and happiness. You see, I think what we really want is to be happy all the time, to be happy always. But that's not going to happen because bad things happen. But even when bad things are happening to us and we are not happy, we still have an opportunity to be joyful. I don't know if you've ever heard of there was a woman named Corrie ten Boom. She lived in the Netherlands, and she and her family, back before the Second World War in the late 30s and early 40s, they hid Jews in their home. They hid them from the Nazis who were out looking for them. And eventually they got caught. And they themselves were sent to the prison camps where the Jews were. And she recounts in one of her books a story about when they were moving her family around from camp to camp. And they got to one prison camp, and the building that they were put into to live was infested with fleas. So she complained. She complained to her sister. She said, I can't believe we're here, and I can't believe this. This is so unpleasant. This is so terrible. We've got all these fleas around us. But her sister remained joyful. Her sister pulled out a Bible and reminded her of this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, to be joyful always. She said, how can we be joyful? What is there to be joyful about? She said, we're still together. We can be joyful about that. We still have a Bible. They didn't find it. They didn't take it away from us. We can be joyful about that. We're surrounded by friends. We can be joyful about that. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Pure joy when you face trials. We all face trials every day, some of them more noticeable than others. I know we've been dealing with trials at home. Robin's been sick now for 4 days. That's a bit of a trial. I know she's not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. Ruby's not happy about it. We're facing a trial and trying to remain joyful. We're trying to find peace where we can find it. We can consider it a good opportunity to rest. Maybe we need rest. But we know that even in our trials that God is with us. There's a famous poem called Footsteps, which I know has been very, very well marketed. And I think we have a refrigerator magnet with it on it. I can't recite the whole thing, but basically it's a man going through his life and he's walking on a beach. The image of life is walking on a beach, and he looks back and he's with God, and he's looking back and he sees there are two sets of footprints in the sand, his footprints and God's. And then he looks back and he notices at the hardest points of his life, there's only one set of footprints. So he turns to God and says, "Why is it in the hardest points of my life you abandoned me?" And God says, "There's one set of footprints there because that's where I picked you up and carried you." Sometimes we face these trials in order to remind us that God is there. Because let's face it, some of the trials we faced in our lives, we can't get through by ourselves. We count on Him to pick us up and carry us. He wants us to ask Him to do that. I was reading a Facebook comment from a friend not long ago, a fellow I'd gone to college with, and he was commenting on the fact that he overheard his 12-year-old daughter praying, and she said, "Lord, I need you. Nobody else can help me right now." He didn't get into what the problem was, but how wise it is for a 12-year-old child to know that God is the only one that can help her. I wish I'd had that kind of wisdom at 12 years old. I wouldn't have been in most of the messes I've been in. I wouldn't have faced most of the trials I had to face, at least not alone. For some of us, sometimes when we pray, it's a last resort. It's the last thing we want to do because we think that we can get through it ourselves. We've got this thing going on as Americans, what do they call it, rugged individualism, where we think we can handle all of our problems ourselves, or at least we think we should be able to handle all of our problems ourselves, or at least society tells us, what's wrong with you if you can't handle this problem by yourself? Truth is, I can't do much by myself. I've come to terms with that. I'm getting to a point, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting to a point where before I start doing things, I pray. I was talking with a woman this morning who is not very confident in her ability to drive, but still she needs to get to work. So she needs to drive. She says every time she gets into her car, the first thing she does before she puts the key in the ignition, she prays. She prays that God will watch over her and get her to where she's going. And then as soon as she turns the motor off, she gives thanks to God for getting her there. She's a very joyful woman. She's joyful because she knows. It doesn't have to do with happiness. If I wasn't sure of my ability to drive, and it happens to me occasionally, I don't get behind the wheel. I don't think to pray first. Quite honestly, though, I think it's a pretty good idea that I don't get behind the wheel. I'm probably going to continue doing that. But if it came to where I had to, I know God would be with me. I don't need to be a nervous wreck. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You know that testing your faith develops perseverance. We can experience this joy in seeing what God does in our lives. I wonder if we really always give Him credit for the things He's done. I know when I say the prayer here, I mention the fact that we often take for granted the blessings we've received. One of the analogies I remember, I was talking to a friend, my friend Pastor Tom, he said that there was somebody who was complaining about something that had gone wrong in his life, and he wanted to know where God was. So he asked this man, you've had this thing going wrong. Did it go wrong yesterday? He said, well, no. Did it go wrong the day before? No. Did it go wrong before that? No. Well, can you be thankful? Can you be joyful over the fact that it didn't happen then? God watches out for us. He wants us to be joyful in everything, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. I heard a story a while back about a pastor's wife who became very ill. She had cancer. And the medical establishment did not have much hope for her recovery. So it was put to her, this is a test of your faith. This is a test of your joy. What are you going to do now? She said, well, I've spent my adult life showing people how a Christian lives. Now I have the opportunity to show the world how a Christian dies. She continued to live with joy. Maybe not happiness, but joy. That reminds me of something I saw on a TV show once, a TV sitcom, where a man had gone to a sort of a self-help seminar, and they're trying to show everybody how to live a better life, how to appreciate the things around you more. And the chief suggestion was this, that you should go and you should spend today as if you knew it was going to be the last day of your life. Spend today as if you knew it was going to be the last day of your life. So he laid down on the ground and started screaming, why me? Why me? No joy there. No joy there. I believe that joy is one of the things that God gives us. Well, joy is. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that God has given us. It is a gift. And sometimes it is supernatural. Have you ever seen somebody that had no business being joyful? There is some circumstance in their life that there's no reason on earth that this person should be experiencing any joy. There's no reason this person should be smiling, and yet they do. It's the work of God. And I believe if it's something that if we are lacking it, He will give us. We all have circumstances in our lives that are bothersome. I know that. Even today, we're all going through trials. We all have trials every day. But right now, I want us to take some time to open our hearts to God and let Him fill us with joy. Let's pray together. Father God, You know all things, and You know everything that is going on in our lives today, each one of us. You pay attention to each of us. You know what's going on with each of us because You love us, because You are watching out for us. Today, Father God, some of us may not be feeling joyful, but You have told us to be joyful always. We ask for Your help. If we are not feeling Your joy right now, Father God, touch us. Fill us with joy. Fill us with joy so much that people will see us and see You through us, that they will wonder how we could possibly be joyful. Maybe, Father God, they will ask us, and we'll be able to tell them that it's You. You are the source of all good things, Father God, and You have blessed us in so many ways. Bless us today with joy, enough that it shows. In Jesus' name, amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you won't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today is joy. We have an opportunity to have joy in all situations. There was a man named Horatio Spafford. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him. He was a lawyer in Chicago. He had a lot of money invested locally. He invested everything locally. And in 1871, he lost everything in the Chicago fire. All property, all of his money, everything that he had, his business, everything was lost in the fire. But he began to rebuild his life. And a couple of years later, his wife and two daughters decided to go on a trip to Europe to visit some family. But he stayed home to maintain his business, to take care of his business. So his family went to Europe, and on the way back, the ship they were on sank. He got a telegram from his wife, who survived, the telegram which said simply this, "I alone." He lost his daughters. And the next day, he sat down and penned a hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." I'm going to read this. I'm not going to try to sing it. But as a closing blessing, I ask, please, that you would listen. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." The day after he lost his children, he could write that. He didn't rely on happiness in his life, because surely he could not have been happy that day. But he had joy, because he knew the Lord. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place joyfully and blessed. Amen.